Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to give us wisdom today. One thing we know, Lord, if the multitudes believe something, it's always wrong. If the multitude of the church believes something, it's always wrong. So, Lord, give us your true truth and bless us mightily today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to talk to you about this 9:23:17 sign in the heavens. Revelation 12, sign in the heavens. People are making all kinds of wild claims about the Revelation 12 sign on September the 23rd, 2017. Some are putting it down, saying that no man knows the day or hour. But, first of all, 9:23 doesn't show a day or hour for the coming of the Lord. It is a sign of what is happening or about to happen. Signs sometimes come before, sometimes they can even come on a happening. The sign in Revelation 12, 1 through 6, is really a series of events that take time. September the 23rd only points to one of those events on the timeline. That is the birth of the man-child ministry from Virgo, representing the true body of Christ. In Revelation 12 and 1 it says, "And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. And she crieth out, travailing in birth." As you can see, this starts at a point, ends at a point, and there's time in between. And we're only looking on that day at one particular point in that time, right? "And she was with child, and she cried out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven," a separate sign, obviously, than this particular one, but they go together. "And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads 7 diadems. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron," which, by the way, Revelation 2 says is the overcomers. "And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days," or the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Okay, so you can see that that is a time sequence. However, that particular day, if you look at who the man-child is or is represented, it's only pointing to one point in that time. Okay, and again, people are saying it's the rapture. It's not possible. I don't think it's the rapture, and it's not possible for it to be the rapture, but I don't think that that's even what the right time, according to this. And this whole scenario is stretched out over a period of time in the heavens, but on the ground, it could happen in a short period of time. Many dreams have shown that the man-child is born and immediately starts speaking and then starts walking, all in a brief amount of time. So, and of course, we've received revelations of the spring being in fall. Spring, of course, is Passover. when Moses led the children of Israel out into the wilderness, you know, and so on and so forth. So this 9:23:17 sign only points to the birth, which in Jesus' case, as a type, was a relatively unknown happening to the people of God at that time. Only a few knew about this birth, and to the rest, it wasn't an earth-shaking event, even though it actually was. It wasn't to them. You understand what I'm saying? What we have to do is go by the types and shadows leading up to this happening. Since the things that have been are the things that shall be, according to Solomon, or God through Solomon, the birth of the man-child ministry will be mostly unknown. From this birth of Jupiter, which is the king of heavenly bodies, it's known as and represents Jesus, and in this case, Jesus coming in the body of the son of David, which is in this time is a corporate body of reformers, the man-child. From there, it goes to it when Jupiter leaves the womb, it goes to Scorpios with Saturn close by and possibly the red dragon of planet X showing up. So there's three different signs of the dragon, or the devil, showing up there. Is it, again, I'm saying possibly the red dragon of planet X showing up too, because we're having spring in the fall. And of course, in spring was the Passover when the red dragon passed over. So lots of things seem to be pointing in that way. And we know that this dragon attempted to kill Jesus, but failed, just as it attempts to devour the man-child in our day, but fails. And by the way, I'm just going to point this out to you. The satanic, baby-sacrificing, left-wing, deep state is attempting to bring about a coup, both a soft and then a hard coup, to remove Trump from office. So, Saints, you need to remember your authority over all the power of the enemy and cast this dragon down. Forbid this action that they're trying to do. You know, the Bible says over and over in Psalms and Proverbs that people that lay a trap fall into it themselves, while we with all escape. Just remember that. We got good foundation here to cast all this down. I think they're laying a trap for themselves. Well, in Jesus' name, we just cast this down. All of their attempts will end in failure. Oh, they're very sure that they're going to bring him down. But they did the same to the man-child, and they were wrong then too. So, as we know, Trump is running in a parallel state to the man-child, too. So, very interesting things coming together here. Very interesting. Well, so from passing by the dragon successfully, Jupiter is caught up to the throne, which will be very public, yet very misunderstood to most. I mean, this is talking about dominion. To him that overcometh will I give authority over the nations. This is talking about dominion. And the throne is not a flyaway rapture here. It's the throne of God. By the way, the throne of David was called the throne of the Lord. Solomon sat on the throne of David, which was called the throne of the Lord. It's the throne of the Lord on earth. So it was the dominion of the David man-child types, you see. And This catching up to the throne is represented as a type when Jesus was anointed and began a powerful ministry of healing and deliverance and signs and wonders. And so it will be with the man-child. But with one added and very spectacular aspect, and that is judgment. You know, Jesus came as the lamb, but he's coming as a lion. Jesus started his ministry speaking the first half of Isaiah 61 and 2 to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But he left out the last part of this verse or proclamation for his ministry in our day, and the day of vengeance of our God, it goes on to say. The rest of the verse shows that Jesus in the larger man-child will reward the sealed bride at this time to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the bride coming down out of heaven, right? To give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, what is this all about? Well, the bride has been going through a persecution at the hands of the dragon, the factious, you know, so on and so forth, and attempts to take her and the man-child down. Well, that's going to be over. Okay. So you see 9:23:17 represents only one point on this timeline that may not be noticed whenever the sign is manifested, either on 9:23 or sometime after, because signs sometimes come before the happening, right? So that's just one point. At that particular point, the man-child is exiting the womb, right? Jupiter is exiting the womb. So, the wild expectations of this, you know, run the gamut of things, you know. But and then they don't really know that it's going to happen on that day, because a sign or an oath in the Old Testament, you know, is an omen of something to come. It could be that. So, anyway. And the Bible speaks of two comings of the Lord, as we've studied and saw very clearly, and it's not differentiated by God's people. One is the Epiphania in the Greek, and it's the coming of the Lord in his people. And it's not speaking of a certain time and day, because the Lord is coming in his people and shining forth from his people that really humble themselves to the word of God, right? Except for the man-child manifestation, it does come at a time, and God finishes off his man-child at a time, and this is an epiphania. It's a shining forth from this end-time company representing the Son of David, inhabited by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And he's coming to this throne dominion. Okay? It is as the anointing of the Holy Spirit that Jesus received to start his ministry. When he was anointed, he spoke that Psalm 61, and he started his ministry. He was tempted by the devil. The devil tried to devour him and failed, and he started his ministry in a powerful way. Most of the world and Christianity will not recognize this as a coming of the Lord. A few will see this and know what is happening. Apostate Christianity will either see it and have their eyes opened, or they will fight against it and persecute those righteous people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. That's just history, but history always repeats, right? Very interesting. This time is a very, very interesting time. And, you know, will anything happen that people actually see on that day? I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Some are saying of this sign that we will not know the day or the hour of his coming, as though this is the Lord coming to rapture his people, which it is not. And not knowing the day or hour is spoken of the Lord's coming as the parousia. That's the second type of coming that we see in the scripture. Epiphania is him coming in his people so that he can later come for his people. Because as you know, no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. That means Jesus, the Word of God, must be born into us through submission to that Word and respect for that Word and speaking and living that Word. That's an epiphania. The parousia is when he comes for his people, which now have come into his image. As 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. God's plan is to bring his people into his image, contrary to apostate Christianity. If you're in a church that doesn't teach that, the Bible commands you to get out. Because it's not a church. They're not the called out ones, which is what church means. You have to come out to be in that group. So this parousia, this coming in the air of the Lord, is after the tribulation, in the beginning of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a year after the 7 years of the tribulation. And it's for the purpose of punishing those who have mistreated his people during the tribulation. And it's the wrath of God. It's called the wrath of God. And it's an outpouring of wrath upon the earth. Isaiah 34 and 8 says, for the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. So you see, he's punishing the wicked for their persecution of his people. By the way, before this day of the Lord, the sun and the moon are darkened. Acts 2 and 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come. That great and notable day. And, by the way, before the sun and moon are darkened, the 7 days of the tribulation come. And this is clearly seen in Jesus' teaching. Matthew 24 and 37. And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, now just remember what the days of Noah were. There were 7 days that represents the tribulation before the ark with the righteous lifted off in the beginning. Actually, it's 40 days into. It's at the beginning because the water had to rise up enough to pick up the ark, right? So in the beginning of the flood of wrath, which lasted, by the way, for one of their years at that time. Now, you can go into this very specifically because it tells you very clearly when the Lord's going to come in respect to the tribulation period. The Bible tells you in the days of Noah and in the days of Daniel, exactly when the Lord's going to come, and you can start counting after the tribulation starts, if you know it starts. And it tells you very plainly when this is now. No man knoweth. That's present tense. We don't know now because we don't know when the tribulation is going to start. Noah did not know when the tribulation was going to start until God said, in 7 days. He's told him that on the first day, at the first day, in 7 days. So he didn't know. And until the covenant is made with many, which could be a secret thing, we won't know. We might even know retroactively. We might know when it happens because God speaks to his people. Okay, but you can start counting right there according to both Noah and Daniel's days. It tells you exactly how many days for the rapture and the resurrection of the dead to come. Noah is the rapture, and Daniel spoke about the resurrection of the dead. And they both came to the exact same day. There is no missing it. So, no man knoweth, but that does not mean we won't know. And if you want to see this very clearly, all charted out and everything, go to Hidden Manna for the End Times. It's a book, a free e-book on our site. You know, UBM1.org. And you go to their front page and you'll see how to get there. It's a free ebook, and you'll see it very, very plainly. It's all charted out. There can be no mistakes. We have more than two witnesses. The days of Noah is a witness here, and the days of Daniel is a witness too. So now we see that after the tribulation, the sun's going to be darkened, and then the day of the Lord comes. So you got 7 years plus one more year. That was the days of Noah. Those 7 days represented the 7 years. And that 1 year afterwards, in which the flood of wrath came, that was called the day of the Lord. So Matthew 24 and 29, listen carefully. It means exactly what it says. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Okay, but we were just told in Acts that the sun and the moon are darkened before the day of the Lord come. Okay? And the days come out exactly. 40 days into the day of the Lord, that's up, the Bible says, only with thine eyes thou shalt see and behold the reward of the wicked. For 40 days Noah sat there on the earth and watched the reward of the wicked. So, this is the beginning. The moon shall not give their light at the beginning of the day of the Lord. Okay? And the stars shall fall from heaven. By the way, that can be seen, a third of the stars of heaven, in more than one way. It's a falling away of the seed of Abraham. But also, if you look towards the horizon, and the earth turns, a one-third of a turn, as in a polar shift. If it turns one-third of a turn, you're going to see a third of the stars of heaven fall to the earth. Okay. Now, I believe the Lord spoke that to me. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Well, we know what's going to do that. Both the pole shift and the powers of the heavens being shaken. You know, we know all this stuff. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So everybody, this is not a secret rapture. This is an appearing of the Son of Man to the people on the earth. Now, that doesn't happen before the tribulation, saints. That happens at the end of the tribulation, just like this says. Immediately after the tribulation, sun and the moon are darkened, and then the day of the Lord comes. So, what are we wanting to see here? Well, when we look here, we'll see that every exhortation that tells you you don't know the day or the hour happens is speaking about the coming of the Lord, the parousia of the Lord at the end of the tribulation. And the beginning of the day of the Lord. All of them are. And here, of course, he receives his saints and leads them against the wicked. The Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Next verse says, and he shall send forth his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, you don't think that everybody's going to know when that happens? It isn't going to matter, because now it's the end of the tribulation. The trial is over. The testing has happened. And the wicked are judged, and they know they're being judged. They can know everything. They can see the Lord coming in the clouds. It doesn't make a bit of difference. Up until that time, God wants it to be accepted by faith, because it's a test to see who are the faithful. And 32, now from the fig tree learn her parable. When her branch is now become tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Even so ye also, when you see all these things, know ye that he is nigh, even at the doors. That's the coming of the Lord at the end of the tribulation. We just read it. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass away till all these things be accomplished. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Now let me ask you this. If that's at the beginning of the tribulation period, some rapture at the beginning of the tribulation period, how can heaven and earth pass away? Would you have a tribulation if the heaven and earth passed away? I don't think so. That has to be the last thing. But my word shall not pass away, but of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. That day, okay, notice, when heaven and earth passes away, the Lord comes for his people, and heaven and earth pass away. This is what he's talking about when he says you won't know the day or the hour. Do we know when the Lord is coming in his man-child? Do we know that day and hour? No, we don't. It's very close to the beginning of the tribulation period. That's obvious. Very close. But we don't know that. However, whenever they talk about that, they're quoting that as though it's talking about the coming of the Lord in a pre-tribulation rapture. But we can see right here that's a lie. When the Lord says this, he's talking about his coming at the end of the tribulation. And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days which were before the flood, which happened for one of their years, right? Before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And that's during the tribulation, or during those 7 days leading up to the flood. He said, for in yet 7 days, and he will bring the flood waters upon the earth. So the flood is the wrath, the day of the Lord, at the end of the 7 days of tribulation. And it's called the great and terrible day of the Lord, or the day of the Lord's wrath. For as in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. The flood came and took them all away. Then shall two men be in the field. One is taken and one is left. This is not a pre-tribulation rapture. Notice, two women shall be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. Yes, when the Lord comes in order to take his people, some will be taken. Some will go into the great and terrible day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's wrath. Watch therefore, for you know not on what day your Lord cometh. Uh-huh. Here's another one. Matthew 25, verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Now we know who the virgins are. They escort the bride and the groom to the groom's home, which is in heaven. Yes. But he answered, and that's, by the way, after the 7 day marriage feast. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. Now he's telling you what time. And we don't know that now. When the tribulation starts, we will have the counting of both Noah and Daniel to show us when the rapture and the resurrection of the dead happen. And they come to the same day. So amazing. For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So when is he coming back to settle up? That's what he's talking about. He's not settling up at the beginning of the tribulation period. He settles up at the end. And he pays the wicked with the day of the Lord. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his several ability. And he went on his journey. Straightway he that received the 5 went and traded with them and made other 5 talents. In like manner he also that received the 2 gained other 2. In other words, it was a time of bearing fruit. The talents of the Lord. But he that received the 1 went away and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. In other words, he didn't bear any fruit. Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and maketh a reckoning with them. Notice, this is when he's talking about, watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. Zechariah 14:1. Behold, a day of the Lord cometh, when thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. Now we know when the Lord is going to go fight against those nations. He's going to have his saints with him. Okay? And when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be cleft in the midst thereof, towards the east and towards the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. And you shall flee by the valley of my mountains. For the valley of the mountains which reach unto Azel, yea, you shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the holy ones with thee. All of them. All of them. There's not 7 years of them left down on earth. All of them come. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be light. The bright ones shall withdraw themselves. That's right. There you go. And it shall be one day which is known unto the Lord. And remember what Jesus said, you know, that he didn't know. Only the Father knew. And he wasn't telling. Not that he didn't tell, and not that he's not going to show, but he didn't at that time. Not day, not night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time there shall be light. Mark 13:24 on down it says, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. As we know, that's between the 7 years of tribulation and the 1 year of the great and terrible day of the Lord, right? And the stars shall be falling from heaven. That's a great falling away of those who were the stars of heaven, Abraham's seed. And also that other symbol I was telling you about, right? And the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send forth the angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. And that's speaking about, of course, the resurrection of the dead and the rapture, because it gathers them from the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven, right? The rapture and the resurrection, by the way, is at the last trump. It has to be so that all the people of God can be involved in it. And the last trump, no, there's not two last trumps. That is stupid. That is, come on now. There's only one last trump in the Bible, okay? And it has to be at the end, because death is the last enemy to be overcome, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And the rapture and the resurrection both overcome death. It's the last enemy. It's after the harlot. It's after the beast. It's after the flesh. It's after the trial, the temptation, the tribulation. It's after all the enemies are overcome. There's one left. And by the way, there's people who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. What did they do? They overcame everything else, and then they overcame death. They never died. That's what the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about. Now, you can't tell me that they're going to overcome death before all those enemies in the tribulation period. Okay? Can't happen. The Word of God is true. Now, from the fig tree learn her parable. When her branch is now become tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. Even so, ye also, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that he is nigh. He is at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be accomplished. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Did you see that? Would we have a tribulation if the heaven and earth passed away? Well, no. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but that generation's not going to pass away until that happens. But my words shall not pass away. But, and here he goes again, but of that day or that hour knoweth no one, knoweth present tense there. Notice that. Knoweth no one, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. That's what he's talking about when he says this. He's not talking about pre-trib rapture. He's not talking about September the 23rd. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. You know not. All these are present tense. None of them are future tense. Seal up the book until the time of the end. Revelations are going to be given at the time of the end that were not given in Jesus' day. Acts 1 and 6. They therefore, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, now there's two Israels, right? There's the Israel that's circumcised in heart, and then there's Israel in the Middle East that utterly rejects the Messiah. Okay? And they're in bondage with their children, according to Paul in Galatians 4. And he said, if you kept the law, you're going to be cut off from Christ. And that doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or whether you're a Jew. And that's Galatians 5. When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel, Lord? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has set in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. Wow, okay. And obviously, the Holy Spirit has come to bring all of God's people into the kingdom. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you're keeping his New Testament spiritual Sabbath. You're ceasing from your own works, in other words, and you're following the Lord, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath, right? So when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What is this for? Is this to, of course, bring them into the salvation of God, the benefits of the kingdom, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've got just so long to do this before it's over. And when he said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking up into heaven? This Jesus, who was received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven. They beheld him, they could see him, and he's coming back in the same kind of a way. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that ought be written unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, some people at that time are not going to know it's coming. They're going to be shocked, you know. When they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. For ye are all sons of the light, sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. You know, if you have your eyes open to the light, there will be a time when God will give revelations that have been sealed from the foundation of the world. And Jesus said they were sealed too. He said even he did not know the time of his coming. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God appointed us not to wrath. Now notice that. You're not appointed to wrath. And people say, that's the tribulation. No, it's not. The wrath is after the 7 years. It's for a solid year. It's the flood. It came after the 7 days, the 70th week of Daniel. We are not appointed unto wrath, but you are appointed unto the tribulation. You just watch and see. You're going to go through the tribulation. Through much tribulation shall we enter the kingdom. When are you going to restore the kingdom? Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. But you're not appointed unto wrath. That doesn't mean you won't go through it. Because if you're not found faithful, you will go through it. But unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, soteria, means all of our needs supplied. Amen. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And that is, of course, at the end. 2 Peter 3:3 says, Knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Notice who these mockers are from the day that the fathers fell asleep. All things continued. For this they willfully forget that there were heavens from of old and an earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God. By which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Once again, we're talking about the great day of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord, the day of wrath, overflowed with water and perished. And by the way, it's called the day of the Lord because it's the day of the Lord's coming, and it's the day of the Lord's wrath. But the heavens that now are, and the earth, by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment. That day, Isaiah 34:8, is a year. The day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. By the way, that's what tribulation is about. He's not going to throw people suddenly into the day of wrath. The tribulation is a chastening, one right after another, to see how many people will come to repentance before the day of wrath. It's the mercy of God. The tribulation is the mercy of God. While many think that they're going to fly away just as dirty and filthy as they are, God says, oh no, we're not having that in heaven. So they're going through a tribulation to get washed up, cleaned up, and get ready. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom, right? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. In which and by the way, that's those that don't have their eyes open to the light. We just read it, right? He'll come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The day of the Lord will come. The Lord is coming at this time. Not coming 7 years before all the enemies have been conquered. He said he was going to sit next to the Father until these enemies were put under his feet, and then he was going to come. Okay, so that's what the tribulation's all about. He's coming at the day of the Lord. That's why it's called the day of the Lord. It's the day of his visitation, and it's the day that begins the day of his wrath for a year. And the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat. Of course, if that happened, you wouldn't have a tribulation if that happened before them, and it doesn't. And the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's what happens in the day of the Lord. It's terrible wrath. Revelation 16:12. And the sixth poured out his bowl. These are the bowls of the wrath of God. Now people say they're part of the tribulation. They're not. They're in the great and terrible day of the Lord. They're called the bowls of wrath. And the sixth poured out his bowl upon the great river, the river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way might be made ready for the kings that come from the sun rising. This is a terrible war here. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast, so they're all there, right? And out of the mouth of the false prophet, they're all there. Three unclean spirits, as it were frogs. They represent unclean spirits. For they are spirits of demons, working signs, which go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them together unto the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. The great day of God. That's the day of God's wrath, the Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. So, you know, he's coming to take his people, and then he is going to turn with his people and execute the day of wrath. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And they gathered them together unto the place, which is called in the Hebrew, Harmageddon. Well, like I said, if you want to look at these things in particular with lots and lots of scripture, and everything seems to fit together. I've had many people tell me this is the first time I've ever seen somebody put all those verses together to show something very clear. And it's true. You know, read our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times. You can go to the front page of our site and find it. It's in our e-books section. And actually, it's www.ubm1.org/?page=UBM books. Yeah. So, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And then the great and terrible day of the Lord come. You know, some people are really worried about this eclipse. I think it's a sign of a division. It goes across the middle of America, and it appears to me that it is a sign of a division in the country. And August 21st is the first one that stays in the United States from beginning to end. The last time we had one was 1776, but it wasn't anything like this one. This one is so perfect. And, of course, 1776 was the founding of the Republic. And here we are again trying to get back to the Republic. And the Declaration of Independence, which they're fighting against, just like the early invaders were fighting against, right? This thing is going to touch 10 states. And it's, I think, 68 miles wide. It divides the nation, north and south. Sounds similar, familiar, right? It's darkness. I believe it's a sign of division. And in August of 1776, by the way, the battle lines were being drawn. The British and the Hessians forces united against the new republic. The invaders won that battle of Long Island, and then both sides backed off for a time and settled in. By the way, it crosses the New Madrid fault zone. And 7 years later, there's one that crosses from the other direction. They make an X over the New Madrid Fault seismic zone, right? That's amazing. It's I believe, a sign of the division of the United States. And it's a war to overthrow the invaders, just like in 1776. It's a war with the invaders. We know who the invaders are. They're the Satanists, the demon-possessed leftists who hate the Constitution and break all laws. I believe Trump is a George Washington type fellow. Very interesting. As far as it being a catastrophic day, I don't see it, except for there's lots and millions of people going to be heading towards that particular zone, and could be a catastrophe right there, because they want to watch it. They're heading towards that line, you know. So watch out. Well, Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us and opening our understanding. And Lord, we're going to fight this battle, but the Red Sea is going to take them down. And I believe before the man-child is manifested, at the time of the man-child's manifestation, Red Sea destruction will be over, because the man-child has to lead him in the wilderness, and the wilderness was on the other side of the Red Sea. So, this Red Sea destruction of this satanic government and their army will be at the time of the man-child. Thank you, Father. We praise you and thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for blessing us with wisdom and drawing us unto yourself to make us holy. We know the sealing of the man-child and the bride is very near now, and the righteous will be promoted. We praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.